All right, welcome back everyone to the deep dive, where we, well, as you know, we like to take a ton of research and kind of boil it down to a nice little conversation for you.
Love it.
So today we're diving deep into aviation safety.
Okay.
But with a bit of a twist.
All right.
We're going beyond just, you know, your typical buckle up, put your tray tables up.
Right.
And really looking at some of the nitty gritty stuff when it comes to what are called hazards and hot spots. In aviation.
That's right.
Yeah.
Really interesting area.
Yeah.
Could dive into.
Can you break down these two terms for us? What's a hazard? What's a hot spot? How are they different?
Sure. Yeah. So hazards you can think of as those general aviation dangers that pilots are always looking out for.
Right.
So anything from weather to, you know, mechanical issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then a hot spot is a much more specific location. It's like if you think about a city,
yeah,
you know, there are certain intersections where you're more likely to have an accident.
Totally. Yeah.
It's the same with airports.
Makes sense.
There are certain spots where either because of the layout or because of things that have happened in the past,
mm-hmm.
we know that it's a high risk area.
So hazards are sort of like the broad danger zones.
Exactly.
And then hot spots are like those really specific pressure points within those zones.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Okay, so to make this a little bit more concrete for our listener,
sure.
What are some examples of some of the hazards that we're talking about here?
So, like I said, weather is a big one.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, imagine you're flying and you encounter severe turbulence in a thunderstorm.
Ooh, yeah.
Or maybe you're trying to land and there's thick fog and you can hardly see anything.
Gives me the chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, that's not a good situation to be in.
Oh.
Then you've got things like congested airspace, especially around major airports where you have all these planes coming in from different directions, all trying to land or take off at the same time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like rush hour in the sky.
Right.
Except the margin for error is a lot smaller.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's not just what's happening in the air.
Right.
You also have to think about the runway conditions.
Where?
Rain, ice debris.
Mm.
Anything that can make those takeoffs and landings less predictable.
So it's not just about like what's up in the clouds. It's about what's going on the ground, too.
Absolutely.
Now, this one might surprise some people. But bird strikes are a surprisingly common hazard.
That's right.
Especially during those really crucial phases of flight, like takeoff and landing.
Yeah, when you're close to the ground.
Yeah.
Birds are real danger.
Okay, so we've got the weather. We've got the airspace. We've got the runways, we've got the birds.
Mm-hmm.
What about the plane itself?
Right. Well, you also have the potential for mechanical issues.
Mm-hmm.
Things like engine failures, system malfunctions, electrical problems.
Right.
And these can turn a routine flight into a major emergency very quickly.
This is like a checklist of things I do not want to hear about when I'm 30,000 feet in the air.
I know it's a little unsettling, but it's important to be aware of these things.
Okay. So we've talked about some of the external hazards.
Yeah.
But what about the human factor? What about pilots making mistakes or miscommunications with air traffic control?
Right. That's another huge area of concern in aviation safety.
Yeah, it just seems like there's so much that can potentially go wrong.
There is, but that's why the aviation industry has so many safeguards in place.
Hmm.
You know, they're constantly working to minimize these risks.
Right.
And that's where the concept of hotspots becomes really important. Because if we can identify these high-risk areas,
yeah,
we can take steps to manage them more effectively.
So it's not just about, you know, reacting when something bad happens. It's about being proactive and trying to prevent those things from happening in the first place.
Exactly.
Now, you said manage these hotspots, which makes me think that they're not just static things.
Right.
They can actually be influenced or changed.
Yes.
So how do we even know where these hotspots are in the first place?
Well, there are a few ways. One is by looking at past incidents.
Mm-hmm.
So if there have been collisions or runway incursions in a particular area, that's a major red flag.
So you're looking at data from like accident investigators and things like
that. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But we also look at things like visibility.
Mm-hmm.
Are there areas with poor sight lines due to the airport design or the surrounding terrain?
So it's not just about reacting to things that have already happened. You're actually proactively looking for potential trouble spots.
That's right.
Mm.
We want to be ahead of the game.
Okay. What else comes into play?
The layout of taxiways is another big one.
Okay.
Some airports have incredibly complex taxiway systems with confusing intersections and tight turns.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten lost on a taxiway before.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
Yeah.
And when you're driving a plane, that's not a good situation.
No, it's not.
It's like those confusing highway interchanges where you're always second guessing yourself.
Wait, yeah.
You're like, wait, which way am I supposed to go?
Right.
And then, of course, you have traffic flow. Some areas are just naturally busier with a higher concentration of planes moving around.
Right, like rush hours on the tarmac.
Exactly.
Okay. And then what about things like radar and cameras and all that stuff?
Well, you know, even with all the technology we have,
Hmm.
there can still be inadequate surveillance in certain areas.
Really? I wouldn't have thought that was still an issue.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but there can still be blind spots for both pilots and air traffic control.
Wow.
So, you know, identifying these hot spots, it really is a bit like detective work.
Hmm.
You have to analyze the data, you have to understand the layout of the airport, and you have to consider all these potential factors that could contribute to an incident.
Okay, so let's say you've identified a hotspot.
Yeah.
What happens next? How do you actually go about preventing accidents from happening in these high-risk areas?
Well, the first step is making sure everyone is aware of them.
Okay.
So hotspots are clearly marked on airport diagrams with specific symbols. So pilots know to exercise extra caution in those areas.
So it's kind of like a big warning sign saying proceed with care.
Exactly.
But I imagine it goes beyond just warnings.
Oh, absolutely.
There have to be some more proactive measures.
Yeah, so pilot training places a lot of emphasis on these hotspots. They actually teach pilots specific procedures for navigating them safely.
So it's not just about knowing that they exist, it's about knowing what to do when you encounter one.
That's right.
I never realized how much specialized training went into this.
Oh, yeah. It's a big part of becoming a pilot.
Now, what about the airports themselves? Can the airports be changed to reduce these risks?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, sometimes hotspots can actually reveal underlying systemic issues.
Oh, interesting.
So, for example, if there's a cluster of incidents in a particular location,
Yeah.
it might point to a flaw in the training procedures or a recurring communication breakdown, or even just an outdated airport design.
So it's not just about fixing that one spot. It's about looking at the bigger picture and seeing there are any systemic changes that need to be made.
Exactly.
So what kinds of things can be done to improve the airport itself?
Well, they can modify the taxiway layouts to make them more intuitive.
Okay.
They can improve the lighting for better visibility. They can even change the physical landscape around the airport
Huh?
to reduce hazards like bird strikes.
Interesting.
So, yeah, there's a lot that can be done.
Wow. Okay, so we've got the pilots who are trained to deal with these hotspots. We've got the airports themselves that can be redesigned to make them safer.
Right.
What about air traffic control? Do they have any special procedures for managing these hotspots?
Absolutely. They're a key player in all of this.
Okay.
So, for example, they might stagger takeoffs and landings to reduce congestion in a particular area, or they might adjust flight paths to avoid those tricky spots,
Right.
or they might just provide more explicit instructions to pilots in those zones.
So it's kind of like they're choreographing this big complex dance, making sure that all the aircraft are moving smoothly and safely.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Especially in those high-risk areas.
Exactly.
Wow, it's really a team effort, isn't it?
It
Is the
is.
pilots and the air traffic control and the airport designers all working together to keep everyone safe?
Yeah, and that's why, despite all the potential risks, flying is statistically incredibly safe.
It's amazing when you think about all the things that could go wrong.
It
But
is.
it's really a testament to all the hard work that everyone in the aviation industry puts in
Absolutely.
to identify these hazards, manage those hotspots, and just constantly strive for improvement.
That's right.
So to our listeners out there, the next time you're at an airport,
Yeah.
take a moment to appreciate that invisible network of safety measures that are at play.
Good idea.
You might even spot those hotspot markings on the airport diagram
Yeah.
and realize just how much is going on behind the scenes
Right.
to keep everything running smoothly.
It's a whole other world.
Yeah, it really is.
But there.
It's a reminder that even in the most complex systems, awareness and constant vigilance are key to safety.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
All right, well, that's our deep dive into the world of aviation hazards and hotspots.
Hope you enjoyed it.
We'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.